These are the words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Many tax collectors and other sinners were coming to Jesus and hearing him teach. The Pharisees and the other scribes of the law saw this, and they grumbled and murmured to one another. Said, "Look at this guy. He associates with sinners and even eats with them." Jesus, when he heard this, told them a few stories. He said, "There once was a shepherd, and the shepherd had 100 sheep, but one of them was lost. And so he left the 99 alone in the open field while he went and searched for that lone sheep. And when he found that sheep, he was joyous. And he put the sheep on his shoulders. And he came back and he invited all of his neighbors and friends and said, 'Come, celebrate with me, because I had a sheep that was lost, and now I have found him.' So too is it that there is more joy in heaven for one sinner who repents than 99 who do not need to repent. Also, there was a woman who had 10 coins, and she lost just one of those. And she searched all over her house. She swept, she turned on all the lamps, she spent hours. And when she found that one coin, she had a lot of joy. And she too invited her neighbors and friends and said, 'Come, celebrate with me, for I had a lost coin and now I have found it.' So too there will be much joy in the presence of God's angels for those who repent." And then to further illustrate his point, he told one final story. And this story was about a father who had two sons. And the younger son came to the father and demanded that he receive his part of the inheritance. And so reluctantly, the father split the inheritance and gave the younger son his portion. A few days later, the younger son took everything that he had, including what his father had given him, and moved far away to another country. And there, he lived high in the hog, wildly. He spent almost everything that he had. And then, bad luck happened. There was a famine in that land. And he ran out of money completely, and he began to starve. And so he hired himself out to a farmhand in that country who put him to work feeding the pigs. Well, no one still gave him anything to eat. And he was thinking to himself, "If I could only just eat these cobs that I'm feeding the pigs." Finally, he came to his senses and he said, "You know what? Even my father's servants live better than this. I will go to my father and beg his forgiveness. Maybe, just maybe, he will accept me into the household and I could live as a servant." So he began to make the long journey home. Well, he was still a long ways off, and the father saw his younger son coming down the road. And he was overjoyed. He ran to him. He hugged him. He kissed him. And then the son began his carefully rehearsed apology to the father. But the father just cut him off and got a robe for his son and gave him his signet ring and put sandals on him. And then he told the servants to go and kill the fatted calf. "For my son was dead, and now he is alive. He was lost, and now he is found." And so he brought the younger son into the household, and they began the celebration. Well, so happened that the older son was just coming back from working a long day at the fields. And he heard the celebration going on, the music, the dancing. And he asked one of the servants, what's going on here? And the servant said, your brother's returned. Your father's killed the fatted calf. And then he was very angry. And he sat outside and he sulked by himself in bitterness. Finally, the father, wondering what's going on, came out, searched for his eldest son, found him there. And the younger son exploded in anger towards him. He said, you have not given me even a goat to celebrate with my friends. And here, this son of yours comes back after spending everything that you gave him on prostitutes and gambling. And you kill the fatted calf for him? The father responded, yes, we must rejoice. We must celebrate. For this brother of yours was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he is found. It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? Of how we receive this story. If we are the youngest, that prodigal child, how good would it feel to be received back with such warmth, such genuine love and affection from somebody who you so wronged, who you embarrassed, who you shamed? The youngest son didn't come to the father and demand his inheritance before the father had passed on. In those days, the oldest son received a double portion. That was considered fair and just. Here he is, taking it early and then squandering it in unrighteous living, an embarrassment to the family. The eldest son, what anger he felt, what resentment he felt. After being the good and loyal son, doing everything his father told him to do, and having this happen, what shame he felt. What a fool he felt. The father, just wanting to accept his youngest back into the fold, take care of him. Just glad to see him with such a kind and forgiving heart. Most of the time we focus on the prodigal in the story, right? That's the title of the parable, the prodigal son. Yet it is the tale of three characters, not just one. Many times in life we might have been the prodigal. Maybe we strayed. Maybe we rebelled. Maybe, we were called to be the forgiving parent. Not an easy thing to do, maybe. Especially to receive them with joy. It's one thing to say, yeah, I forgive you, okay. But to, yes, I forgive you, and let's celebrate? That is how God welcomes the sinner. I think most of us probably are in the character of the oldest brother, right? Someone who's done the best we can, someone who's done everything that they were told, someone who's followed the rules, someone who has done what's expected of them. And yet we see somebody over there being celebrated. What about us? What about us? One final story. It's a Jewish tale, once again. Tells about the good fortune of a farmer, and God visits the farmer and grants the farmer three wishes. Maybe you've heard this. So, for the first wish, the farmer, being a farmer, wishes for 100 head of cattle. He gets 100 head of cattle. Joy fills his heart until he finds out that God has given his neighbor a double share. That was in the fine print of the wishes. So, his second wish, he wishes for 100 acres, and presto, he's filled with joy as his acreage is increased by 100 acres. Yet his neighbor gets 200 acres. And he could not escape that jealous feeling of being slighted, because his neighbor had received more than he. So then he stated that third wish, and he wished that God would make him blind in one eye. And then God wept for the man. The elder brother represents all of us who think we can make it on our own merit, our own justifications, our own list of things that make us righteous and good. All of us who might be proud of the kind of lives that we live. But the contrast is between those who want to live by justice and merit on one side and by mercy and grace on the other. This parable shows us that those who live by justice and merit are just as needy to ask for grace as those like the younger brother. We cannot live in the Father's grace if we demand that God deal with us according to what we deserve. Sharing in God's grace requires that we join in the celebration with the old woman and the coin, the shepherd who finds the sheep, and with the gracious Father who represents God. Joining in the celebration. Part of God's grace, part of the being in fellowship with Christ, is receiving and rejoicing with others who do not deserve mercy and grace, the prodigals. Each person is of such value to God. None is excluded from God's grace. We who are the eldest ones, we who the Father says, you've been with us from the very beginning, it says in our scriptures. You've been with me from the very beginning. Everything I have is already yours. But, we rejoice for the one who is lost. Neither should we withhold our forgiveness of those prodigals. This parable leaves us with the question of whether the elder brother joined in the celebration. We don't know. It's an open-ended story. What do you think? Do you think he did? Do you think he took some days, maybe weeks, years even before his heart melted, softened just a bit? Maybe he felt an obligation because of the Father to make peace with his brother. Maybe after the Father died, resentment set in once again. You were Dad's favorite. And shut him out. Did he truly forgive his brother? We don't know. What will we do? Will we walk into the celebration? Rejoice with those who have been lost, those who are found again? If we go in, we accept grace as God's rule for our life. Do we accept grace? Do we accept God's rule of grace? Not God's rules of judgment, but God's rules of grace to rule in our hearts. By relenting, coming in, enjoying festivities. There's a church of some notoriety in Colorado, pastored by Nadia Boltz Weber. It's called, well, it used to be, it was founded by her, called the Church of Sinners and Saints. We're all sinners and saints, and somewhere in between, aren't we not? Let us celebrate for what's been lost and is now found. Maybe some of us have been in that lost category. Let's stand and sing for joy.